Let me extend my warm welcome to you. If we've never met, my name's James. I'm the assistant pastor here at The Globe, and I will be preaching for us for the next 25 minutes or so. So you will need one of these things, a Bible. There's only a few here, so if you're modern, you can find it on your phones. You should be able to Google our passage, or it should come up on the screen. But we're looking at a book called Ecclesiastes. We've been going through a series in this book for the past couple of weeks, and we're up to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, but I'm going to focus by starting in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, reading the first six verses. You can find it on page 678 in these blue Bibles if you have one. But otherwise, you can listen along. I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to pray for God's help as I try and explain it for us. So let me read this. Ecclesiastes 11, verses 1 to 6, then I'll pray. Ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. Invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour it on the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Let me pray. Lord God, I thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you speak to us so clearly through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have his words recorded in this book so that we can be challenged and so that we could grow in our faith. But Lord, we have other words as well. We have your words here in Ecclesiastes through Solomon. And I pray that we would learn things here that would also be life-changing, that would impact how we live, that would reveal to us that we need to find our identity in Christ and in him alone. And that if we put our identity and our meaning and our purpose in the things of this world, they're only ever going to let us down. So Lord, would you be working on our hearts? Would you be speaking to us right now through this passage? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a famous kids song that we sometimes sing to our kids. I wonder if you can end it for me. Something like this, that our God is so great, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing our God cannot do. Oh, look at that. Okay, well done. Is that true? There is nothing that God cannot do. Is that true? There is nothing that God cannot do. Well, I think in that context, God is so strong, so big, and so mighty. Yeah, sure, there's no limits to his power. But there are things that God can't do. Maybe that's a shock. Don't pick up stones to get me. There are things that God cannot do. And as we go through this passage today, that is going to become an immense comfort to us. There are things that God cannot do. Now, one of those things I want to highlight is this. And it's something we can do. God cannot learn. Is that a surprise? God cannot learn things. You can't sit God down and say, I bet you didn't know this. Why? Because God knows everything. God knows everything. We don't. We can learn. We are always learning new things, trying to predict new things. But God, he knows everything. Hopefully that fact is going to be a great comfort to us as we work through this passage, and it confronts us with the reality that we don't know everything. This text reminds us we're constantly learning and in some ways constantly guessing what will happen next in life. Now, we hate hearing that we're not in control, but Ecclesiastes, it challenges us. And this is just one of many things where it challenges us. Ecclesiastes, going through this book, it's been a bit like being in a boxing match where you just keep getting smacked in the face with all these hard-to-swallow truths. We've been smacked in the face with things like, stop thinking that pleasure or money or all these different things will satisfy you. Stop thinking that worldly wisdom will solve all your problems and that you're in a boxing ring, you're getting hit with all these things. Stop thinking that good people always get good things and bad people always end up with bad things. Stop thinking like that, Ecclesiastes teaches us. Stop thinking you can outrun time and chance and the monotony of life and the certainty of death. Stop thinking that you can change that. Now, when I used to do a bit of boxing, when you mess up, there's one thing I would do. You throw out a jab and I'd drop my arm. I'd be quite lazy. I wouldn't protect myself. And so I would get smacked in the face every time by my coach to try and train me, stop doing that. Stop making this mistake. And Ecclesiastes is the same thing. Now, the mistake, the punch that we're all coming, that's coming our way today is this, that we don't know it all. We don't know it all. We can't predict what's going to happen in the future. There are some fairly certain things in life, but that's not the case for everything. And that's hard because we want to be in control all the time. Now, this language, it comes from our text, just in what we've read there. You see in verse 2 of chapter 11, you don't know. Verse 5, you don't know. You can't understand. Verse 6, you don't know. He keeps banging the same drum. And then he gives this beautiful picture in verse 3. This image summarizes what life is like. It says, if clouds are full of water, they pour rain on the earth. Okay, well, that's pretty easy to predict. You look at the clouds, they look heavy, they look dark. You can predict it's going to rain soon. But if a tree falls to the south or the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. What he's saying in that picture is, sure, you can predict the weather, but you can't predict everything. This tree that looks a bit wobbly, you don't know what way it's going to fall. And once it goes, it stays there. There are some things you can predict, some things you can't. It's a fairly simple message, isn't it? You may think this is really dumb. Yeah, sure, we can predict the weather now and you can use science to look at a tree and figure out where it's going to land. But remember, this ancient text, if you're new here, if you're not familiar with the Bible, this is a book that's written to an original audience. But many of the principles in the application are for us today, for people across all time. And so the principle here remains. We may be able to predict the weather better, but in early 2019, or early 2020, did anyone predict that there was going to be this global pandemic? We're all going to be working from home. You're all stuck on Zoom. Some of you are going to lose loved ones. Did anyone predict that? You don't know whether a tree is going to fall to the north or the south. And when it lands, there it lies. These things happen. They come up in life. We don't know it all. But these things, when they come, there seems to be little we can do about it. This is another smack in the face from Ecclesiastes. Especially to us, we want to be the master of our fate, the captain of our soul. Ecclesiastes says, don't do that. Don't think like that. Now, we're familiar with this, but instead of me sharing more personal stories, I think I want us to hear God's word. What examples does he give us in this text of things that we don't know? Again, for those who are new, we trust that this is God's word. And it's interesting, as you go through God's word, he speaks to his people, gives stories, narratives, commands, things that we can learn from. Often God speaks to his people that way. But in books like this, he speaks for his people. It's like he puts himself in our shoes. In Ecclesiastes, he looks around at the world around us, a world that is cursed, that is fallen, that is crooked, that is messed up. And he is showing us, here's the things you don't want to put your hope in. These things, they end up just feeling meaningless. That's what he's teaching us. So let's stay with it. Let's let God speak with that truth in mind. So there you go. You're boxing. Here's the overhand. Right. Bang. You don't know it all. Here's the jab. Two jabs we're going to look at. Two things that are going to drive that point home. One, we don't know if we're going to be remembered or recognized. We don't know if we're going to be remembered. We're going to look at Ecclesiastes 9 for that. Secondly, we don't know when or how we're going to die. Ecclesiastes 10. So let's jump into that. We don't know if we're going to be remembered. Ecclesiastes 9. Verse 13 onwards. Let me just read that quickly. Just flick back a few pages. You'll find it. Ecclesiastes 9:13. I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. Remember, he sees things. Just press pause there. This is what he sees. Remember, this isn't about, here's lots of truth and good theology about, no. It's just, this is what we see from a human perspective. This is what the writer sees. I saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. But nobody remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. Here's one thing we don't know. We don't know if all that we've worked for and fought for will be recognized or remembered. Now, it'd be great to know the details of this battle. Maybe we could place it in history like we can. Lots of battles and events in the Bible is often recording history. But we can't do it with this event. And I think that's the point. This imagine this most amazing siege. And you have this powerful king, but then you have this one wise man who trumps everything that goes on, and he saves the city. But we don't know about it. That's the whole point. Everyone forgets what he has done, and so they despise his wisdom. There's lessons to be learned here. Obviously, that wisdom is better than strength. I'm not going to get into this too much. The pen is mightier than sword, all that stuff. I mean, there's so many examples. So think of a whale. A whale is very big, very strong, but all it takes is a harpoon to take one down, right? And it's probably a terrible illustration, but you see what I'm saying? Wisdom is better than strength. That's okay, deal with that. That's great. Technique over power. But here's the bigger lesson. Verse 15, nobody remembered that poor man. Hard work doesn't always mean you're going to be noticed or recognized or remembered. You may invest wisely. You may invest your money and your time into a relationship, and that person lets you down. It may be your own kids. You invest time and money and energy into your children, and they grow up and they say, "You were never there for me. You let me down all the time." That happens, doesn't it? You may be working hard at your job, hoping you'd be recognized. You get that next promotion, and then someone else out of the blue gets it. Sometimes we're just not recognized in life. We're not remembered. Even in this age of social media where, you know, surely everything is remembered forever, but it's hard. People want millions of views and maybe they get 10. There's a friend of mine, Abby's cousin. He's got a channel on YouTube called Camping with Josh. His name's Josh. He goes camping and he films himself as he does it. And, okay, maybe there's a few hundred views for each of his videos, maybe 1,000 on some of them. There was one video that he did and it got 1 million views in a week. And it's like, how does that happen? The point is, we don't know. We can try and be remembered. We can try and do stuff. Some people seem to get lucky in this world, but not all of us. It's hard to predict the good and the bad in life. Now, I hope you hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying, well, you don't know if you're going to be remembered, so don't bother trying for anything. I'm saying work hard. Sometimes you'll blow up. Sometimes you'll have statues erected in your name or a blue plaque on a wall somewhere. But don't expect that to happen all the time. That's what he's saying. That's the punch. Often we're told, you can be whatever you want to be. You're going to be noticed and recognized. Everyone's going to remember what you... No, that's not real life. This book is just, they should rename it Reality Check. That's what it's doing. Be careful of putting your identity and your worth into being recognized by others. A lot of us do that, don't we? But it can be incredibly painful if you feel you have gifts, you have the right to do something that someone else is doing, but no one has ever approached you or asked you to do it. They just don't seem to see you. That can be so crushing if you just want people, you expect people to see you and recognize you and your gifts and your talents. This is true in love, in business, in your hobbies. Maybe you want to be the best sports person. In church, sometimes. I have no doubt there's probably people in this audience thinking, I could do a better job than that bloke up the front right now. But there's loads of different ways where this works out. Some people just don't recognize you. You're not remembered for what you've done. That can be hard. But the trick is, don't make it harder for yourself by expecting everyone to see you in this life. I feel like this sometimes. You know, I hear of conferences taking place, and I see a list of names who are speaking at this big conference. Thousands of people are going there. And I'm like, I could do a much better job than them because I trained the flipping person who's going to be speaking. And it's like, oh, that really hits me hard. And no one invites me. I just see a flyer come through on my, I don't know, on social media. But it's things like this hard, isn't it? Ecclesiastes reminds us we've got to find our identity in something more secure, not just being remembered or recognized. It's not guaranteed. Wake up. Stop putting your hope in the fickle, changing, unreliable things of this world like fame and recognition. You may be able to predict the weather, but you can't always predict which way a tree will fall. And there it will lie. So, beware putting your trust and hope in making a name for yourself. It happens to some, but it's not promised. You don't know it all. As we go into chapter 10 now, there's lots of sensible advice about other things, other topics, about how you avoid foolishness, how you relate to rulers and kings, how we use our words. But we don't have time for it all. I encourage you to read it in your own time. But there's one more thing I want to touch on in chapter 10. So, okay, we're working through this. So you don't know it all. You're not necessarily going to be remembered. And you don't know when you're going to die. We don't know it all. You don't know when you're going to die. Chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes. You don't know if you're going to get injured. Listen to these stories. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 8 to 11. Whoever digs a pit may fall into it. Whoever breaks through a wall may be bitten by a snake. Whoever quarries stones may be injured by them. Whoever splits logs may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. If a snake bites before it is charmed, the charmer receives no fee. Again, spot in the text how often it says may or if. This may happen. There's some things you can know, you can try, but you don't know the whole story. This may go wrong. You can work a job, live your life, but it may go wrong. You don't know. Now, there's two things, good bits of advice here. In verse 10, before we get to the harder thing, it's keep your axe sharp. There's a good bit of advice. If you prepare well for things in this life, that can help your chances, right? It should go better for you. If you eat healthy, if you exercise, if you, you know, check the road twice before you cross, if you wear a helmet, if you study hard, you take out insurance, you do all these different things, you keep your axe sharp, then you should do better in life. Remember, this book isn't just saying give up on life, it's all pointless. It's saying be wise about how you live this life and what you live for. He wouldn't say sharpen your axe if life wasn't worth living. I know this book seems depressing, but it's only depressing if you've been living for the wrong things. So be sharp, but be aware. You don't know that as you dig a pit, as you knock down a wall, as you chop down a tree, as you work in a mine, as you do all these different things that we can do in our life, you don't know if that's going to be the last thing you do. Maybe it's going to leave you some life-changing injury, or we don't know. Maybe it'll take your life completely. We can take precautions and predict things like the rain, but we don't know the way a tree will fall. And when it does, it will lie there. Life can change in an instant for good or for bad. We don't know when or how we will die. When we do, nothing can reverse that. When that tree falls, it lies there forever. Now, the point here isn't to live life in fear, to, you know, supply you with bubble wrap that you can go outside with. Now, the point is to receive each day as if it's your last. Receive each day with thankfulness, gratitude. Don't expect this just to be the normal. Receive each day with thankfulness. Beware thinking that you are going to live forever or that tomorrow is promised. There's a picture, hopefully it's going to come up on the screen. It looks so dull, so bland until you tell the story behind it. And this photo's always stuck with me. It's a really powerful example, and it's quite an upsetting story. But 9/11, we all know about 9/11. Twin Towers, they are destroyed. Thousands of people lose their lives. This was in New York. There was a parking lot outside of New York where commuters would come in, they would park their cars, and then they'd jump on the train and they'd go into work. Many of them would go into the Twin Towers. This picture was taken September the 12th. This is the morning after, before the car lot is opened up. And you have all these cars there, and these people never returned. Think, they go to work the morning of September 11th, and they think it's going to be another normal day in the office. September the 12th, their cars are still there. Everyone assumed tomorrow would just be normal. No one expected a plane after plane is going to crash into your office and destroy the whole block. This is what life is like. This is what Ecclesiastes is saying. You can predict some things. You don't know if a tree is going to land to the north or the south. We don't know it all. God's word is saying, stop living as if you can predict all these things. Don't put your identity in reputation. And don't put your identity in living a long and healthy life as if that's just what happens to people. That is not always the case. And remember, Christians, we're not immune from this sort of thing. When I was at Bible college, there was a group of about 20 of us, not a massive class. I don't know what is going on here, but three of them have had cancer. Three of the students, just like me, young families, they want to train up so they can study this book, they can go on, they can lead churches, plant churches, serve on mission. Three of them have got cancer. Two of them have been called home. Two of them, they lived for a year, year and a half. One of them's probably got a few months left. None of us expected that. We study as if we've got the whole life ahead of us. Before some of them have finished studying, they get the diagnosis you have a few years, if not months, to live. This is life under the sun, not just for non-Christians. This is Christians, all of us. This is the cursed world, the crooked world we live in. We don't know when we'll die. So stop living like everything is promised. That's what he says. We've got to get the right perspective of life. We need to view life as such that if we are rewarded and remembered, if we live long, healthy, happy lives, if we outlive anyone else, then that is a gift from God and nothing less. We have to get the perspective right. Perspective should benefit us. Looking at things from a different angle can really help. Here's more of a, well, I say it's lighthearted illustration, but think of the Titanic. Yes, that was horrible. I heard this is stupid illustration. Horrible, human disaster, terrible, loads of people in the ship sinks. But I heard this once, that from the perspective of the lobsters on board, who are you know, moments away from being thrown in a tank and boiled alive, for them it's freedom. The lobsters get to go home. Maybe that's a terrible illustration, I don't know. But perspective on the Titanic, you know, it can change how you view it, right? Horrible human tragedy, but for the lobsters who are living, they escape. It's a great day for them. Never going to use that illustration again. So look at okay. So let's come back in. Let's lock in. Look at life from the right angle. That's what I'm trying to say. Maybe I should have said that. If we think everything we do will be seen as special and we'll all be remembered, we need a different perspective. An Ecclesiastes perspective tells us don't do that. We need to view life as precious. Enjoy each day as a gift. Tomorrow isn't always promised. I wonder how we'd lived if we really trusted that. If this was our last day on earth, if this was our last week, our last month, last year, how would you live differently? Maybe you'd say sorry to someone. There's a grudge that you've been bearing for so long. Maybe you'd try one more time for reconciliation. Maybe you like someone. You'd tell them finally how you feel. You don't want to go on in life anymore without sharing that. Maybe you'd seek to be more giving with all that you own rather than just hoarding treasure, building bigger barns. Maybe you'd start reading and praying more, preparing to meet your maker. I don't know. You can fill in the gaps there, but got to get a balance. We don't know it all. But here's one thing Ecclesiastes says, back to chapter 11. If you don't put all your eggs in one basket, but be wise with how you live. Be bold. Appreciate life, but also knowing that you don't know. You should be doubly cautious, if you like. Let me just read Ecclesiastes 11, verse 5 and 6. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. So here we go. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. There is a lot we don't know, but don't give up. Be bold. Be wise in how we navigate life. Invest in two things at once. Live with that perspective. So, lots we can learn here. But here's the cool thing. Ecclesiastes is not the only perspective we're given in the Bible. Remember, the Bible isn't just one big book. It's a collection of books. And so we're given different perspectives from different books about how we live. Yes, there's lots of things we don't know, but God has revealed more things we can know, especially through Jesus. You fast forward 1,000 years from one King Solomon to another, King Jesus. And he seems to give us greater perspective on life, greater wisdom. He himself says this, Matthew chapter 12 says, something greater than Solomon is here. He's talking to himself. Yes, there's wisdom in Ecclesiastes as it smacks us in the face and it forces us to face reality. But he doesn't have the last word, does he? Jesus does, the one greater than Solomon. Now, I'm not saying Jesus contradicts what Ecclesiastes says. Think as Jesus, as he grows up, as he's in the temple, as he's reading the Torah, the Tanakh, you know, as he's reading Ecclesiastes himself, he doesn't rip it up and say, oh, I don't want any of that. No, Jesus runs with this perspective. He agrees, you don't know it all. But there's more to life than not knowing things. Here's biblical wisdom. You don't know it all, but you can trust the one who does. You don't know it all, but God does. And you can trust him. Jesus, Matthew 6, that famous Sermon on the Mount, he tells people not to worry about everyday things like food or drink or what you wear. Rather, trust God. He knows what you need. If he provides for the birds and the lilies in the fields, he will provide for you. You can trust him, Jesus says. You don't know it all, but you can trust the one who does. See, here's biblical wisdom. God can't learn anything new. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And that which he can't do, he can't learn, should be of huge comfort to us. He already has all knowledge about all things at the forefront of his mind. He doesn't need to remember anything, does he? And so we can trust him. He has all the information. This is why life is so hard sometimes, because we don't have all the information. We have our perspective and we don't get things. We maybe ask ourselves, you know, why am I still suffering in this way? Why do I have this condition? Why am I still single? Why can't we have kids? Why did this person leave me? Why did this person die? Why isn't anyone recognizing me? We have all these questions, but we don't have all the information. That could be a dangerous place to be. But God does. God has all the information. Now hear this. If we had all the information, all the knowledge, all the wisdom, and all the love that God has, I don't think we'd change a thing about our situations. If we knew everything God does from the beginning to the end, we had all the love that he has, all the fatherly guidance that he has, we wouldn't change a thing. I hope we remember this when it comes to questions of suffering. God has all the information that we don't. Think of it like this. If I propose a situation to you, and this is going to sound brutal, say there's a girl in a chair in a locked room. There is a man standing over her with a knife. It's not looking good. I would hope that we'd want to intervene in that situation. That sounds like a horrible situation. But that's only part of the information. What if I then told you, this girl needs life-saving surgery. That man is a surgeon. He's standing over with a knife that's about to perform an operation that will save her life. It's different, isn't it? You have more information. It changes how we view the situation. Is this not true of all life? Yes, we don't know it all, but God does. And we can trust him. The same God who knows everything, who knows the depths of our sin, who knows the darkest part of each of us, things we wouldn't even share with our loved ones. He knows. He knows those things. And yet, through Jesus, the same God, through the Son, he came and he said, I love you so much. I see all this stuff, but I still love you. I'm willing to fix you. I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to forgive you. It's easy to say, I love you, to someone who only shows their good side. But when God says, I love you, he sees every part of you. The good, the bad, the ugly, the past, the future, the present. And he still looks at you and says, I couldn't love you anymore because of Jesus. God is all-knowing, but he is also all-loving. And you can trust him. He will never let you down. He will do you no wrong. Your life is safe in his care. My Christian friend, the third one who has cancer in Bible college, maybe has months to live, said this on I'm on part of a big WhatsApp group with them. And I didn't prepare this. They just copied and pasted part of the message. They said, we don't know how many months we'll have left as a family. But we put our trust in the God who knows the length of our days and our times are safely in his hands. We don't know how many days we have left, but God does. And we can trust him. This is the Christian hope. See, if Christianity is true, you don't need to know it all. You just need to know and trust the one who does. Your life is in his hands. Where better could it be? Lucas and Zippy, you are young. You are being baptized today, beginning a lifelong journey of faith. You don't know how your life is going to go, but God does. You can trust him. He will never leave you or forsake you. God will never leave any of his children. So for all of us, if God has secured our eternal life, how much more will he secure our life here and now? You can trust him. If you wouldn't call yourself a Christian today, don't you want that comfort? I worry if you're not trusting Jesus today, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, then all you have is this Ecclesiastes life, this world of where we just don't know things. We try and sharpen our axe, we prepare for every eventuality, but we just don't know. Nothing is promised. We don't know if we'll be remembered, we don't know when we're going to die, and what happens next. Come to Jesus, the one who knows all you've done, but is also the one who's willing to pay for that. The consequences of our sin, judgment, he took that on himself. And your life can be changed today, where you gain your identity, not in the world, not in what people say, not in living a bit longer than other people. You gain identity in Jesus, the one who died and rose again. So death no longer has its claim on you. You're free to, in a way, to embrace death instead of raging against the dying of the light, fighting and losing battle. We can trust in the one who has given us new life. Death is just the doorway to eternal bliss for those who trust Jesus. Do come and speak to me afterwards if you have questions about that. But let's just keep going. Let's keep going through life. I know Ecclesiastes is a hard book, but it should make us appreciate Jesus so much more. Like a cold fan on a hot summer's day, so too is Jesus in an Ecclesiastes world. You can't predict which way a tree will fall, but Jesus can, and you can trust him. You can trust him. Why don't we pray now for God's help that we would all do that more and more from this day forward. Take 20 seconds just to reflect on what has been shared in the quiet of your hearts, and then I will pray briefly. Then we'll sing our last songs. Lord God, I thank you that you know us. Thank you that you haven't just left us. Thank you that you're not just ignorant or just unaware or out of control. You are fully in control. You are fully loving. And Lord, if we ever doubt that, would we just look afresh at the cross? That situation in some ways seems so out of control. This innocent carpenter who is tortured when he shouldn't have been. And yet with more information, we see that the most evil thing humanity could ever do was turn for our eternal good. Would we see that? Would we start to trust that you have more information than we do? Would we start to trust you as the one who is all-knowing and all-loving? And would we put our identity in the right place, not in the things of this world that are fickle, where we can predict some things, but not everything? Lord, we need a better identity, one that is solid and secure, and that identity can be found only in Jesus Christ. I pray that we would all come to him today, that we would rest in him, and that we would trust him more and more through each stage of this life in this Ecclesiastes world until we meet you in a renewed and better world. Help us to keep going and have a deep peace knowing that you see everything we do and that nothing is wasted in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.